Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
He won a victory. Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Are we there? The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. What I want you to notice here is that the Bible says God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. So he calls male and female, he calls them him. God doesn't say he created him and her. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, many feminists, they hate the Bible because God refers to himself as a him. And he refers to us as him. And he refers to us as sons of God. So some people say, why isn't God a her? Why don't we say she and her? Hallelujah. But the word of God tells us clearly that he created him. Male and female created he them. In God, there is no gender. Are you listening to me? In God's eyes, we all are sons of God. Even though you're a female, in God's eyes, you're a son of God. Because God doesn't look at gender. Hallelujah. One day, God giving me grace, I'll explain to you what it means to be a son of God. A son, in God's eye, doesn't mean that you are a male. But in God's eyes, when he says you are my son, he's talking about certain things that have happened to you that has caused you to be a son. For example, in the book of Galatians, the Bible tells us that there may be a person whose parent may be very wealthy. But if that person is a child, that person cannot receive the inheritance of the parents. And the Bible says that that person will be under the care, you know, of servants. Servants will be leading that person, even though he's wealthy. But because he's a child, he cannot enter into his wealth that his parents may have left him. Do you understand? But when he grows and becomes a son or an adult, then what rightfully belongs to him, it will be given to him. So the same thing becomes with God. If you remain a child and don't grow to be a son, you will never walk in dominion. Even though God has blessed you, even though he says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations, even though that may be the case, but if you remain a child, you will never walk in dominion. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, say, my neighbor, I need you to grow to being a son of God. Hallelujah. Verse 28, Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. If the Bible you have is yours, please underline that word subdue. It's very important. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the reading of the word of God. Amen. Amen. So we are busy with our subject, walking in dominion. Hallelujah. And as I have said in the past, that God wants you and I to walk in dominion. God wants you and I to dominate. Hallelujah. These testimonies that you are seeing, that you have heard today, is a sign that we have entered the journey of dominion. The devil now cannot just play around anymore with us. We are changing. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, we are changing. Yeah. If your neighbor is not changing, say, I am changing. I'm changing. I'm becoming stronger. I'm becoming more fierce. Yeah. Now we're not going to allow the devil to play around here. I was telling my wife recently that my prayer topics are dangerous now. Now I say, God, may you break the backs of my enemy. I want their backs broken. Must break them. Because what I've noticed with Satan is that Satan is very ruthless. Satan is not nice. He's a murderer. He doesn't have a heart. If he gets the chance, he will kill you, throw your head there, throw your hands there, throw the rest of your body somewhere else. He's a very ruthless, evil person. And I've noticed that when we deal with the enemy, Satan, please, that's how we deal with the enemy. That time, him, if he gets the chance, one day God said to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? Satan said, I can't touch him because they are protecting him. God said, I know Job. Even if you do anything to him, he will still love me. And some of you are not like that. Some of you, if you were looking for marriage and somebody tells me, Pastor, I'm looking for this person, I'll say, run! Balega! Some of you, your relationship with God is so weak, it's scary. One little problem, you run away from God. One little problem. God said, I know Job. No matter what you do to him, he will remain with me. Then Satan said, give me a chance, I'll show you. Then God said, okay, go touch him. You know, this devil is so ruthless. In one day, not over a period of time, he killed 10 children. In one day, to see the nature and the character of Satan. One little chance he got, he killed all 10 of them. All 10 of them, he killed them. When Job was busy, he saw one of his servants running to him. And the way, you know, sometimes you can see someone who's running that there's a problem here. When he came and he said, look, I've got a sad story to tell you. Your children are dead. Then Job said, who? Is it John? Is it Stephen? Is it who? He said, John is dead. Stephen is dead. Samantha is dead. Three of them. He said, actually, all of them. The man had 10. So you can see the devil that we are fighting against is ruthless. While Job was still pondering what on earth could have happened to them, all of them, one day, another servant came running. And when he came and he said, say, all your businesses, all of them, not like some of them, all finished. In one day, not that, you know, it took 5 months. If Satan would have the chance in your life, hey. So even us now, we must stop playing around. We need to start to understand our enemy. And we need to be also ruthless in our prayers. And we need to be consistent in our prayers. Amen. It's very important. Otherwise, you will cry. Did you see the example I made here with the brother? When you're about to get married, he will pull you. He'll just be playing around with you. By that time, you are getting hurt. Your emotions are being broken. Your life is being destroyed. He's just playing you like a yo-yo. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's time for us to walk in dominion. If you are enjoying the Satan playing with you, it's fine. But some of us, we are tired. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm tired. Tell your neighbor, say, enough is enough. It's time for me to dominate. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, I told you that first things first, your mind must change. Until you change the way you think, you will be Satan's playground till the day you die. You have to develop a mind that I am here to dominate, not to be played around with. It's time for you to consider that I have a great God. The Bible says the earth is his footstool. In other words, he puts his feet on the earth to rest. That's how great your God is. Then I'm suffering like this. It can't be. Something is wrong. So the mindset must change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your mindset must what? Must change. Until you have that mind to dominate, you will be following all the days of your life. You will never enjoy anything in this earth because you don't have the mind that I'm a winner, I'm victorious, I'm an overcomer, God is my God, I'm a child of God. Life cannot be like this for me. Then I told you that the next step is for you to develop discipline. If you cannot develop the discipline to pray continuously, every day, not tostos once upon a time. In Zulu, we say tostos. But we have to be prayerful. Monday we pray, Tuesday we pray, Wednesday we pray, Thursday we pray, Friday we pray, Saturday we pray, Sunday we pray. If you cannot develop that discipline, because you don't know the day Satan is coming. He doesn't announce that, hey, Saturday, I'm coming to visit you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we must develop that discipline. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, for a short time, I want to continue on what it means to have dominion. What it means to have dominion. Last week I said it means walking into your full potential. Hallelujah. Today, walking in dominion means that you are ready to fight. It means that you are ready to what? To fight. You must be ready to fight. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I told you that you must mark the word subdue. That word subdue suggests to you, it tells you that you must fight. That word subdue tells you that whatever you want, whatever you need, whatever you desire, be it healing, be it prosperity, be it a close relationship with God, whatever it may be it your children, anything. If you need it and want it, you have to subdue. In other words, you have to fight. Is it marriage? You must fight. Nothing will be given to you without you playing any role or putting any effort into it. How many things? Nothing. Zero. So if you are going to have anything in this life, you have to learn and understand that I need to fight for it.
Amen.
You know, I've been walking with God for a number of years now. It still surprises me that when I wake up, I have to fight to pray. I have to fight. I will wake up, my body tells me just 5 more minutes, And I have enough experience to know that 5 more minutes means no more prayer. You won't pray. So I have to fight in the morning. I wake up. I'm not praying. I'm just now trying to wake up. Every day I must fight. So if there's anything you want in this life, you have to fight for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I said you have to fight for it.
Amen.
Yeah. Everything wants to resist you. Come with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. In fact, let's read from verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, from verse 1. Are you there?
Amen.
The Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Hallelujah. What I want you to note there is verse 8. Verse 8, it says that I'm taking my people to a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's a beautiful land. It's got everything that you need. Now, when God was speaking to Moses, he was speaking of physical place. That place today is called Israel. Hallelujah. It's just above Egypt. So God promised, he came to Moses and he said, my people are crying to me every day. I've heard the issues they have. I've heard the problems they have. I've heard their cry. I've seen their distress. And he said, I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to take them to this wonderful land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing that God said. Isn't it beautiful? How many want God to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey? That land could be marriage. You know? You can be married to such a person who loves you, who is in love with you. Is in love. Yes, fair long hour. God can give you a sweet husband. God can give you a sweet wife like my wife. The best wife in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anything that you desire in your heart, God can give you.
Amen.
But the interesting thing here is that from the moment that God said that, war began. Problems began, left, right, and center. Suddenly, Pharaoh wanted to kill them. Pharaoh said to Moses, these people are not going anywhere. Even you, since you've come to the church, I've come and told you that this is your year of dominion. I've come to tell you that you must overcome. You must have victory. Satan is saying, who? You? Never. So Pharaoh said, these people are not going anywhere. Because Moses said to them, we just want to go worship God. Pharaoh said, hey, if I let you go, you'll never come back. They are not going anywhere. So God had to fight and defeat the Egyptians. The last thing that he had to do is he killed all their firstborn. Whether it be a cow, if it's a firstborn cow, God killed it. Even the cockroaches, the firstborn, he killed. Anything that was in Egypt that was firstborn, God killed. The same night, you could hear the whole land of Egypt crying. Because every house, their firstborn child was dead. That's what had to happen for them to go to their promised land. You think that's it? As they were going, in Exodus chapter 17, suddenly these people called the Amorites come against to fight them. They're going to their promised land, but if they don't fight, they will never get there. The Amorites came because the children of Israel, they were slaves. They were not soldiers. They were not warriors. There were old people amongst them. There were children amongst them. Then all of a sudden, this nation comes against them with an army to come and fight them. And because these were not warriors, Moses went to a mountain and started praying. And when Moses was praying, the children of Israel, who were not soldiers, started defeating trained soldiers. And they killed all of them. So what I need you to understand is that the minute you decide that I'm going to dominate in this life, you must know that that means that you must be ready to fight. If you are not ready to fight, you will not become anything in this life. Now, when they finally arrived in this promised land that God had promised them, God said to Moses, I want you to select a person from each tribes out of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want them to go into this land and survey the land. Someone say survey. It means go check it out. What is there? Is it indeed a good land like God promised us? So God selected Moses selected 12 people and they went to the land. When they went there, they were surprised. The grapes were this big. The grapes were huge. The land was beautiful. But one problem with it was that people were living in the land. When they came back, they came and said, man, indeed, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. They took some of the grapes to come and show. Look at the size of these grapes. But they said to them, but the problem is, the children of Anak, they live there. And the Bible says these people were giants. Someone say giants. And they said, when we stand next to them, we look like grasshoppers. We have to look at them like that. And they said, the land is good, but we don't advise that we go there. Weem. God said to Moses, tell them, I am with them. Let them go and take the land. If you are not willing to fight the giants, because you see, when God has promised you a nice job, do you understand? Somebody must, while you are young, while you are growing, while you are educating yourself, somebody must be there occupying that position in the meanwhile while you are getting ready. When you are ready, that person must now remove so that you can go in. But if you are not ready to fight, that person will be enjoying your job, will be enjoying your salary, will be enjoying the lifestyle that should be yours. You'll be working and that person is driving your car. Because you are not ready to fight. You say, I want a job. Even to write a CV, you don't have a CV, but you want a job. You don't have a CV. You are joking, my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the same year that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they arrived in that land. Now, when they saw the giants, they said, we are going to die here. Then God said, I'm with you, go. Then they said, no. Then God was angry with them and God said, I'm going to kill all of you. Then they said, okay, now we are going to fight. And Moses said, don't go. God is not with you anymore. They decided to go. And those giants beat them senseless. Beat them. You know what God said? He said, because these people don't trust me, I'm going to make them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Until all these people who don't believe me die. Then I will take their children and take them to the promised land. Because the adults, the parents, don't obey me, don't trust me. So that's the reason why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they didn't want to fight. They were just wandering in life. When people say, hey, there's a job, go pep. Hey, rat, lamo. Hey, nagitana cause. Hey, lina gata. They're just wandering. They have no idea where they are going. Aimlessly moving in life for 40 years because they didn't want to fight. Until they got old and started dying of old age, one by one, one by one, one by one. When God finished with that generation, he called the young people, are you going to fight? They said, yes. They went and killed the giants and they possessed the land, which today is the land of Israel. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. For you to dominate, you must be ready to fight. Anything. Just for you to say, I want to be prayerful. It's not easy. If you want to start a business, before your business can, you know, make you drive a car, 20 times you will feel like giving up. This thing is not working. But I watch these people, Bo Pick and Pay, Bo Mang Mang. You'll hear them 100 years in business. Say, what? How many years? 100 years. You realize that no matter what happened, they kept pushing. They kept fighting. But you, 5 months in business. Nagilapila, now I'm tired. You're not ready to fight. You're not ready to fight. I was just watching my life and end of 2019, May 2019, I decided that I'm going to leave my job, serve God full time. Are you listening to me? Isn't it a good thing? I decided in May, but I finally did it in August of 2019. I was in a high. I told my wife, we are doing it. I said to her, it's going to be rough. This is me talking. It's going to be rough, but we are doing it. Just a few months into my full time, then coronavirus comes. All churches close. God, what's happening? Me who has left work to do church, now I'm sitting at home. Week after week, month after month. Then that school that we were in, I can tell you they don't like me. Out of all the pastors who were there, I was sending them letters almost daily. Hey, when are we up? We want to come back. We want to come back. Then eventually they wrote me a letter. They said that the government says no more churches in the schools until coronavirus is finished. I felt dizzy. What do I do? I called one of my friends. I said, sir, I don't know what to do. Do I go back to work? What do I do? Because I'm sitting at home. Then I prayed, kaparabaka. And when we were staying, we were having heavy duty challenges. Heavy duty. But every time I come close to my master, he gives me supernatural strength. Even if I see death, he makes me feel like I can go there. And I told my wife, we are going to do this thing. Supernaturally, God brought us here. Now we are back in church. When we open church, this one has disappeared. This one has left. This one is leaving. Hey! I left my job, my income, to come and serve you. Everything should be going smooth now. But now this one is leaving. This one. But by God's grace, I remember I came and told you and I said, in 2020, we are operating in the principle where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. Even if we are two here, we continue with church. We continue with the work of God. See, you must be ready to fight. If I gave up, these testimonies, surprise, would be dead today. That young girl wouldn't have been at school today. That young girl would have been healed. But you have to be ready to fight. You have to be ready to fight. And your enemies are bigger than you. They've been there for years. When was Satan born? You don't even know. He's an ancient person, that one. Before the world was formed, angels were already created. Without confusing you, there is something that is called the pre-Adamic world. Someone say pre-Adamic. That means the world before God formed human beings. This earth was here. That's why you'll see bones of dinosaurs. When they ask you how old is this bone, they say it's 1 million years old, 2 million years old. That time the earth, according to the Bible, is about 6,000 years old. So where does this 2 million old dinosaur bones come from? We've never seen a dinosaur before. There was a world before we came. It's called the pre-Adamic world. When God found sin in Satan, he destroyed the earth. And then in Genesis, when God was creating the earth, he was rebuilding something that was already there. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's time to fight. You must fight for what's yours. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to fight? Let me give you one more scripture and then I'll be ready to close. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. It's in the New Testament. Are you there? The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what I want you to notice there, he says, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. A human being lives in three realms. There's what we call the spiritual realm. There's what we call the soul. And there's what we call the natural realm. Are you listening to me? Now, when I say that you have to be ready to fight, it means that you have to be ready to fight in all these different realms. Many of us, we are good in fighting here. One trial. Do you know who I am? Then you bring your fist and you are ready to fight. You are used to fighting in the natural realm. But there's three realms. If you only fight in the natural realm, you will be defeated all the time. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. This is not someone that you can beat a punch like that. Have you ever had something? Have you had it before? So one day I had this khate lady, and I felt this thing holding me down. Please put your phones on silent. I felt this thing holding me down, and I felt like I want to punch it. Do you understand? And one thing you must understand was khate lady, you can't move. I tried to use my whole entire strength to punch this thing, but I couldn't move. Then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, why don't you ask me to help you? I said, hey, Holy Ghost, please help me. And suddenly I just burst out in tongues. And that thing that was holding me just disappeared. And I came to. Then I realized that, hey, spiritual battles is not about physical muscles. You can be the strongest person physically. You can be the fittest person. You can run from here to town without getting tired. But that doesn't mean that you are going to win your battles of life. You have to understand that there's a spiritual realm where you have to fight spiritual fights. And you yourself, you have a soul. So there's a soulish realm where you have to fight. And you have a body, it means the natural realm where you have to fight. Now for you to win, you first have to learn to fight in the realms of the spirit. When Jesus came into the earth, when he turned 30, like God told us this year, he said, son, it's time for you to dominate now. Immediately when he understood that it's time for me to dominate, Satan himself, he came to fight Jesus. Now Satan is a spirit. It's not a physical person. So Jesus had to defeat Satan. In Luke chapter 4, he had to defeat Satan before he can start walking in dominion. Now you've not met, you just move around every day. You don't even understand that the spiritual wars that are going on. So you have to understand that you need to fight the spiritual battles for you to grow spiritually, for you to have your job, for you to have your promotion, for you to go to school, for you to pass at school, for you to have a degree, for you to have married, even to have children. There are battles going on all the time. Many years ago, we were praying, and the Lord spoke to us and said, Satan is planning to cause people either to miscarry, or if they don't miscarry, they must give birth to deformed children. Look at this devil. And you, here you are, you are just moving. You don't pray. That time Satan is waiting for you. At the opportune time, you lose your child. Or when your child comes, your child is deformed because you don't pray. By the grace of God, that season we prayed. And all the people that were attacked, all of them, most of them gave birth to children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must understand that you have to fight in three realms. Not only the physical realm, but the spiritual realm. You must fight, and you must fight each and every day. Since God told us that this is our year of dominion, before I leave my place where I stay, I decree, if today is Monday, for example, I say, God, I thank you for this Monday. This Monday is my day of dominion. Any challenger that comes to challenge me, they are defeated already. I beat them now in the name of Jesus. I harass them in the name of Jesus. I decree that they are under my feet. Then anything that meets me on Monday is already, I've won it already in my room. But you don't pray. All of a sudden, you are in a taxi. Poof. Hey, what's going on here? Almost dead. Almost. Tell your neighbor, you must be ready to fight. You must be willing to fight. Church people are very lazy. Church people, the laziest of them all. please don't get offended. The most prayerless people are people in the church. People in the church. I know you won't say amen, so I'm preaching only to myself.
Amen.
That's why I'm teaching you that you have to be willing to fight. And for you to fight, it means you must wake up in the morning and pray. You wake up and pray. Things don't just happen. You must wake up and pray. Talk to God. Fight in the spirit. Dominate in the spirit. Before you physically go to wherever you are going, you must wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. I said, wake up and pray.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Even on Sunday, even when you are coming to church, pray before you come. Pray. This morning I woke up at 3 a.m. to pray. Read my Bible. Even though I'm the preacher, read my Bible. Because I understand that there is a spiritual warfare. There is a very brutal enemy that is against us. If I don't pray, I will be continuously defeated. Hello, are you here? Tell a neighbor, say, neighbor, pastor is talking serious things now. Tell a neighbor, say, wake up and pray. Yeah. Your neighbor can hear, tell the other neighbor, maybe they will hear you. Pastor says, wake up and pray. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Pastor, but me, I don't know how to pray. Listen. Prayer means talking to God. Can you talk? Can you talk? Then just talk to God. Talk. Talk like I'm talking now. Just talk. Can you talk to your friend? Can you talk to your uncle? Can you talk to your father? Can you talk to your mother? Then you can talk to God. Just open your mouth and talk. When I started praying, you know, God used to wake me up every day at 4 in the morning. It doesn't matter what will be happening, he will wake me up at 4 and he will tell me to pray for 1 hour. And in those days, I couldn't speak in tongues. So I'll wake up and I will talk, and I run out of things to say. I just ran out of things to say. But I wanted to spend 1 hour. So I'll just sit there. I won't go back to sleep. I'll just sit there. I'll play a message or something, play spiritual music or something. That hour I spend with God every morning. And after some time, there was a hunger that, Lord, you wake me up and I just come here just to sit down. I want to be able to pray properly. Then when that cry developed in my heart, my prayer life became more deeper and more deeper and more deeper. Till one day, I was worshiping God. What I'm about to tell you, God started speaking to me. And God did something that till today surprises me. God started singing to me. I heard God singing to me. And was telling me the song, the lyrics of the song was that, "My son, I love you." I was in tears. I was crying. I said, "Lord, thank you for loving something like me. What am I that you love me?" But it started out with someone who couldn't say anything. I just sat there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, stop being lazy. Wake up and pray. It's the beginning of your fighting. Wake up and pray. "Oh, Pastor, I'm tired." We are all tired. All of us are tired. But we can still pray. You're not saying amen. I can't hear you.
Amen. Yeah.
We can pray. We can pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May you become prayerful in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you become a prayer warrior in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you become an intercessor in Jesus' name. May your family survive accidents because of you.
Amen.
Because you wake up and pray.
Amen.
May your family members have good success because you wake up and pray.
Amen.
May people be delivered from the attacks of the enemy because you wake up and pray.
Amen.
May people around you be blessed because you wake up and pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
I'm tired of lazy Christians. I'm tired. How are we going to change the lives of people in our Mapias if we are so lazy? The other day, we finished praying here and we drove out like this. When we got around the circle there, there was commotion. So I slowed down the car. When I checked, I saw a man holding a little baby. When I looked at the ground, there was blood everywhere. And he put the baby down, then I realized this child is dead. But it must have been a 3-year-old, or maybe a 2-year-old, somewhere there. I was shocked. When I heard what happened, somebody bumped the child, and then the people said, "Hey, you bumped the child." Then when the people screamed, he reversed into the child. And then you won't wake up and pray. Huh? The mother was crying. Then after they took that guy, beat him. It's too late to beat him now. The child is dead. You should have woke up and prayed. Dominion means you must be ready to fight. And the enemy you are fighting is not a physical enemy. You can't bribe Satan. You can't give Satan money. Satan is only defeated through prayer and through the word of God. That's the only way. So you must wake up and pray to subdue all your enemies. Then everything will start falling into place in your life. Many Christians are touch your screen Christians. You don't want to pray, you just want to touch a screen. And a pastor on TV, I feel the presence of the Lord. Touch the screen, touch the screen. Then also you are going to touch a screen with your small hands. Langkwatisa, man. You don't want to wake up and pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your future. Pray for your destiny. You just want to touch the screen only. Hallelujah. It's okay to touch the screen, but you have prayed. Yeah. If you think that screen is going to answer all your problems, you're a joker, my friend. Yeah. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Yeah.
Jesus said, pray that you don't fall into temptation. It means that if you don't pray, you, the nice sister who's leading prayers for us. Tomorrow, wake up and what? Pray. Pray. Tomorrow you'll be talking that God doesn't love us. God doesn't care about us. But you just said you never woke up and pray. How can you dare say that God doesn't answer your prayers? It's because you don't pray. What can he answer if you don't pray? So for you to walk in dominion, you must be ready to fight. And the fight is a spiritual fight. Amen. Our enemies are spiritual enemies.
Amen.
If they had the chance, they will brutally kill you. Or destroy your life and make a spectacle of you. Unless you wake up to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, my dream for Naumapias is that one day I'll be walking in the streets and I will hear people screaming to God. Ekatapaya akantopula ekapirabapota ekaparaba shantikados. Not these nice prayers. Hey, papa, rapela, papa waka. You have to be brutal with your prayers. Someone say brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah. One day, God took me into the spirit and I went into some Christian houses, like houses where Christians live. You know what I saw? I saw I saw people, spiritual people, had come to these people's homes and they were dancing, like what Mama was saying here. Those dancing she was talking about. People were dancing in their yards. People were dancing in their homes. And the people are there. And you change gears. One lady said to us, every time she sleeps, she feels something coming into her bed and sleeping next to her. Instead of her waking up and pray, hey, Kappa, come out of this house. Babu loom. Not ready to fight. Not ready to fight. If you want to have dominion, are you listening to me? You must become a warrior. You must. You must. And the battle begins when you start to be prayerful. That's the only time. If you are not prayerful, the only thing that will be happening is that the devil will be defeating you every day. Most Christians today are forever discouraged, forever depressed today, because they don't pray. Sometimes when I feel down, then I start praying. Then I sense the glorious presence of God. When I enter into that glory, my faith is renewed. Sometimes I say to God, when I step away from you, it's the highest level of foolishness that I do. Because when I am in you, I feel like I can conquer the world. When I'm out of you, I always feel defeated. I feel pathetic. I feel depressed. So for me to walk in victory, I must do whatever I have to do to be in your glory, to be in your presence. But it takes work. You must wake up and pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you are blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you. It is finished. Hey.